Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Every Friday at 12:30, we'll sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these artists. The conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we're talking with Lewis Poole. Lewis, welcome to Zero Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.
So what you been up to lately, Lewis?
Well, I've been painting.
How's that for an intelligent art question?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Ready for Christmas?
I hope so.
Oh, good. Okay. Have you had any shows lately?
I am currently in a show at Page Bond Gallery called Large Works.
You are. How many pieces do you have in there?
Just one. It's a group show of large paintings. While most people are doing small works shows this time of year, Paige decided to do a large works show. So I thought that was kind of gutsy. But it's a nice show.
What's the painting of?
It's a painting of a house.
So that's something that you've done for years, right?
It is.
So for instance, the untutored, the indoctrinated, or whatever the word is, people who would look at your work might say, why does this man paint houses over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. What's that about?
Well, I guess you could ask the same thing of a figurative painter. You know, why does someone paint the figure over and over and over again? Part of it is, the problem of subject matter is solved. Mm-hmm. It's been solved for a while.
What do you mean? What do you mean? It's solved.
Well, it's not something that I don't have to worry about subject matter. Mm-hmm. When I continue to be interested in the image of the house, and it's not. Yeah, it's not that I'm exclusively interested in that, but it continues to intrigue me, and I think what it is about the house is that it's a geometric shape. You can edit.
So I mean,
it's geometrical. Mm-hmm. It is. So I'm given these geometrical planes to work with, and it's a structure. It's a geometrical structure against which I can explore painting. At the same time, it has a human context. Mm-hmm. So without there being human figures there, there's the presence of humanity, and the houses, these little sort of vernacular architecture structures develop personalities after a time. You know, there's an intimacy. I feel an intimacy with the structures. There's a very human scale to them, and at the same time, I approach them very, very abstractly in a large way.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you see this as abstract work? Do you see it as realism? What do you see it as?
Well, I'm really trying to get sort of between abstraction and realism. Mm-hmm. Before I started painting houses, I was painting quite large, totally non-objective, very painterly paintings, a lot of gesture, fields of color, but always set against some sort of an imposed structure, something that I imposed. I would start with some sort of geometrical structure and then begin to work against that.
Like, what do you mean? Like a square, like a...
Yeah, exactly. Rectangle, squares, shapes that made reference to the painting, to the surface, to the picture plane. Mm-hmm. I would section the canvas off, in geometrically section it off, and begin to work against that structure. And, you know, it was really sort of about...
What does that mean, work against that structure? What is that?
Well, it was... there was the imposed geometric structure. It was ordered. It was balanced. It was... I put a lot of time into dividing the canvas and trying to set up a tension in what essentially was the drawing. Mm-hmm. And then when I started painting, the painting developed and sort of took over the drawing, but made reference to the drawing. I would...
What drew you into this? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, someone who's a painter probably understands what you're saying, but someone who's not is probably thinking, why would you do this?
What the
just the whole process. Why would you set up this conflict? And then what would keep you interested in doing this? I mean, what's the I don't know, you know? Do you know what I'm saying?
That developed after years of painting, of figurative painting and all sorts of painting, but
what's the challenge, I guess, for you? Not, you know, what keeps you interested in this process?
At the time when I started doing that, when I did that first abstract painting, it was an experience in basically abstract expressionism. It was very intuitive, and it was a formal, you know, I was interested in formal aspects of painting and drawing.
What does that mean? The formal aspects.
Relating to the actual forms, to ordering. Ordering the canvas, or you know, arrangement, structure, composition, and making that work, making that hold the painting.
Why was that important for you to do? I mean, why not go out and plant a garden? Why not?
Oh, why painting as opposed to gardening?
Yeah,
or opposed to anything else?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can articulate it. I don't know. I mean, what was it about that process that drew you in so intensely?
I guess that it's just the way I can best express myself.
Okay.
You know, I feel that I can really express my feelings and things that are really, as far as I'm concerned, pretty ineffable.
Right.
Things that can't be expressed with words. Uh-huh. In radio interviews,
yeah,
not
yeah.
by me anyway.
Yeah, right.
It's just natural.
You're painting an image now anyway of a house.
Yes.
And somehow you're able to get your emotions into that?
Yeah, yeah, I am.
Through the use of color,
The use of color, and, you know, I was doing these abstract paintings, and there was one house that I would pass every day at different times of the day. This was several years ago, and it caught my eye, and I just, you know, was attracted to the way the surface reflected light and the different colors that it made, and the shadows, and, you know, under different lights, and just the structure of the house, the drawing, the awnings, the, you know, the lines, the roof. And I thought to myself, I really would like to do a painting of that house.
Right.
But I'm an abstract painter, so I can't do that. It's like, I'm a formalist abstract painter, and I'm not allowed to do that.
Like, sort of like coming out, huh?
Exactly.
Like, oh my God, I'm attracted to houses.
That's right. So I had to justify it. I said, you know, I want to do a painting of this house, so I had to justify it. So
right.
So the way I did that, formally was to flatten the drawing out by using paraline drawing, which is an architectural approach to to drawing, right, a certain type of architectural approach to drawing, where there's no, the lines are parallel and there's no perspective line. So mm-hmm. there's no real perception of, you know, or illusion of depth. So I was able to keep the painting up on the surface, flat on the surface, and I was happy with it. It was a successful painting, and as an abstract painting, I thought it was successful, and at the same time, it was able to get across this image of this structure, this house, right? And so I did that for a while, and then eventually I got to the point where I said, you know, if I want to paint a house, I'll just paint a house. I'm not going to worry about.
Really?
You know, I'm far enough away from...
abstract police are going to come get you.
Exactly.
You know, what are you doing?
That's right.
I've
got my degree from VCU, so they can't take it away from me.
That's right. I'm sorry. You can't paint images of houses.
That's right.
This is not what? What were you afraid of?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it was just, you know, I was concerned with making a successful... within that context, within that genre, I was trying to be successful in making those paintings. And I wasn't tired of it at the time. It wasn't that I felt like I had to or proved that I was able to or something, because I really was interested in it. But then when I saw this house, which is in fact a geometrical structure, and there were those planes and those things that I didn't have to invent, that wasn't so artificial, but still offered these mm-hmm. linear and planal elements, and at the same time had this context that people could relate to beyond just, you know, purely abstract painting. And I related to it. You know, I've always liked architecture and I like grand architecture, but just the house as a structure, the vernacular architecture.
Well, the house, the home, the person.
Right. There's that human, human context there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's the geometry, but now instead of working that out myself, it's received information.
Right. Well, so it's information you can then manipulate.
Right. So again, it's...
Because it's interesting, because your paintings strike me as abstract. I mean, when I see them, I obviously see the image of the house, but it's like the house has been liberated.
Well, good. I'm glad glad you see them that way.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's... And there's obviously the image of the house. When you were talking before and you were saying you drove past that house and you saw certain lights and certain shades and certain colors and, you know, certain images and things like that, is almost like how much of a love do you have for architecture? I mean, does that really play into this?
Well, I'm not doing these paintings of houses really because I love architecture. I mean, it's something that, you know, I do enjoy architecture. I do like architecture. I like to look at the development of architecture and, you know, on all levels, you know, high architecture and low architecture.
Right.
It is an art form, and I think it's also a craft form or it's functional. So it serves all those purposes. In painting, one of the things that it provides in painting is though this the geometrical structure that becomes the sort of the order. And I became aware when I was doing the abstract paintings that a real theme in all my painting has always been order and chaos, and structure and disorder.
Right.
You know.
Do you see that in the world around you?
I see that in the world around me. I see it in my life. You know, I think it's, you know, life is, right. for me, is it's a struggle of order and chaos.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I think that, you know, it, energy and entropy, you know, all those dialectical, things that just bring the, you know, that's the energy that brings the dynamic to mm-hmm. to the painting.
What have you learned from your paintings, you think?
What have I learned from my paintings?
I mean, are they a learning experience for you? Do they help you make more meaning out of life, out of your life? Or are you just painting houses?
Yeah, no, they do. They do. And yeah, obviously, each painting is sort of a struggle for a point, maybe not entirely of order, but of enough order to. It's a balance. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not a. It's a tension between order and chaos, and it. You bring the painting to a point of resolution so that there's energy there. You don't want it to be flaccid.
Right.
You want it to be energized, and it's that that dynamic between the gestural, the color. The colors against each other. Mm-hmm. You know, color is certainly a big issue in my painting, and you know, that against the drawing, against the image, against the.
So when you like you were talking about driving down the road, when you look at a house, you don't see what the rest of us see. Do you?
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm
you
actually
do,
but yeah, but, I'm always looking. And
what do you mean?
I do look at houses in terms of, you know, I might like to paint that house,
right.
or, you know, that I'd like to, you know, stop and do a drawing of that house
uh-huh.
because, you know, it's interesting. And I think that just about anything could take the place of it.
You think?
But
you're familiar with Albert Albee's, I think it's Albert Albee's, Play the Goat?
No, I'm not.
Guy falls in love with a goat.
Okay.
I'm thinking you might have fallen in love with a house.
I'll think about that.
Yeah. He had a hard time explaining it to his wife. She didn't get it.
Well, the house is just, it's convenient.
Yeah.
It's convenient.
No,
maybe I'll.
Well, maybe after this interview, you could switch to like tanker trucks or. no, probably not.
Yeah, furniture.
Furniture, maybe. I don't know what. You know what else has that?
For the figure.
What else has that diversity of line and shadow and color and? I mean, when you start talking about it, it gets very interesting.
Yeah, I'm starting to open up some and sort of backing away, and widening the view. You know, moving more from what could be sort of like a portrait of a house, moving mm-hmm. back and encompassing more of, you know, what could be closer to maybe a landscape with multiple.
Okay. Has anybody ever asked you to do their house?
Yeah, a couple people have.
Yeah. Do sort of a portrait of their house.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Well, I actually did one for someone who, it wasn't his house, it was an old church down in Duck, North Carolina, and he just really liked it, and I happened to respond to it, so I did a painting of it, and it turned out pretty good. That was the only one that I attempted, just because the others I really wasn't interested in.
Really? I mean, if somebody came to you and said, you know, Well, but you, I mean, you wouldn't be interested in doing representational painting. Is that what you're talking about? You did a representational painting of this church?
Well, no, I was given free rein. You know, I did it the way I did it. It was for someone who had bought some of my work before, and he knew the way I painted. And, if the house, you know, if the image strikes me and you know, I'm able to paint the way I paint, someone presents, you know.
How do you feel when you face a blank canvas?
Generally, I'm pretty excited.
Really?
I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Not fear, doubt?
No.
Interesting. Ever?
At times, yeah, I have been, sure.
Yeah. But not recently?
No.
Mm-mm. More excitement?
More excitement.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know why excitement?
I'm just having a lot of fun painting right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's every painting's a challenge. You have to continuously set problems up for yourself to solve, and that's one thing. You have to really keep it fresh. You have to keep making problems for yourself, I think. And
so the learning that's going on for you is really the learning that takes place within the painting. I mean, you're learning as an artist more than you are learning lessons of life is that true?
Yeah, I think there's some sort of life resolution. You know, a painting can be sort of a meditational exercise, and that you struggle through and find resolution, and there's really some satisfaction in that, and you know, I don't know how that relates to any other potential practical problems in life, but it's
much
just part
of life
that
looks
just
practical on the surface is just insane. I mean, most of what most of us do is insane. It's just that we have, you know,
yeah, or absurd.
We have, you know, absurd. We have this cultural agreement that it's not absurd, and that somehow sitting in front of a piece of canvas and struggling through visual issues and solving problems, somehow in our culture, people just don't get it.
Yeah,
but yet it seems to be an enormously enjoyable, I don't know, freeing. Is that right? Or
I think so. It's very satisfying.
I mean, do you lose yourself when you're working?
Oh yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, at times. Yeah.
Just the time just drifts. 3 hours later, it's.
Yeah, you know, there's that again. That sort of back and forth. That dialectic between subjective involvement in the painting, where you're almost unaware of what you're doing, and then stepping out, stepping back, and looking, and having to be very objective from a formalist point of view, and you know, you have to be able to look at the painting and, you know, think about what you've done, be able to make decisions about what you're going to do next, and, you know, what's working, what's not working.
Right.
And when you can do that and know that, and then go back into the painting and sort of lose yourself in it, it's really satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like one heck of an adventure. Actually, so you're working a lot now. Is that what you said?
I'm working quite a lot now.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm working on large pieces, which I've really enjoyed.
But you also work full time.
I work nearly full time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when do you paint? I mean, most people's lives are go to work, come home, have dinner, deal with the kids if you have kids, you know, whatever, watch television, go to bed.
Right.
Right. Most artists I know are doing double time. How do you do it?
I go to work, I come home, and I go into the studio. And what's helped recently is that I've just started running again. And it's been a long time since I've done that, but it gives me a lot of energy. So go out, run, come home.
Isn't that interesting?
Work in the studio.
Yeah.
Take a day off during the week, and spend the day in the studio, full day in the studio, and then weekends. And
does it seem selfish to you to spend that much time doing that?
Oh no,
no?
I don't see it as that much time.
Okay.
I do spend time with my wife.
What's her name?
You're gonna have to edit that out.
What does she think of your work?
I think she likes it. I really do. I think she. Mm-hmm. I think she does.
Does she understand you as an artist? Why you do this? She must.
She does. She's really very supportive. Mm-hmm. She is. She's very helpful.
Yeah.
She's helped me a lot with.
I mean, I've known people who were, you know, married to artists and just didn't get it. I mean, they just don't. They didn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those marriages also usually don't last very long.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they really look at it like, you know, what are you doing? I mean,
right.
And that's part of what I'm trying to have this show do is to help people understand, you know, what a deep, rich, spiritual is the wrong word, but in a sense, spiritual, meditative, can be challenging, can be life informing, doesn't have to be. But just that it's such an amazing, it's sort of in your words, it's such an amazing challenge that you sort of set for yourself. You know, and sort of the mystery behind that is, you know, why are some people driven to that? You know, to set that kind of, because it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
I mean, you know, most people watch television at night for,
Yeah.
They're not in their studios.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a very interesting, different way of choosing to spend your time and live your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it is just so satisfying.
Yeah.
I mean, when it works, when it's on, it can also be very frustrating. But
yeah.
But you know, I guess anything that's worthwhile is requires some effort.
Well, you're not going to believe this, but we're out of time. Zoomed by, but I think you've said very well. You've articulated very well, you know, your work and why you do your work and you know what drives you to do that work, and I think help people understand that process, and that's really kind of what we're trying to accomplish here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, man, and thank you, folks, for tuning in to Zero Hour. I hope you've enjoyed our lunch together. We look forward to seeing you on the radio next Friday at 12:30. This is Tim Bowring. You're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us.